Hello everyone and welcome. Today is March 22nd, it's a Sunday. You are listening to Pagan Spirituality Today. This is episode number 8. I'm your host, Kveldrida. Well, Ostara was Friday, 20th this year. We actually have not done our ritual at my house yet, but spring has sprung. I hope where you live the weather is acting spring-like. Here on the Washington coast, we tend to have very strange weather this time of year. It has hailed and or rained, generally both, I think every day for 3 weeks now. It actually hailed this morning. Not very long, maybe 5 minutes, and it was small pebble hail. Last week we had practically golf ball sized hail, as well as heavy downpours off and on. But it's moderating a little bit. It's getting a little more mild, but it's in the mid-40s. I think we hit 50 last week, and it's not terribly cold. So all in all, it's not horrible, but we have quite a lot of rain this time of year. We get a lot of rain all year long, actually, but particularly in the early spring and in the late fall. I hope your Ostara Ostri rituals went well. I hope you got a chance to have a ritual or be with friends and family at this time. We have a lot of flowers blooming around here, buds on the trees. Our cherry tree is a fruit-producing cherry. I don't actually know what kind of a cherry it is. It's a smaller yellow-red cherry, but it buds late for some reason, as does our apple tree. The flowering cherries that don't produce fruit have already they've gotten buds and the flowers have started to come open. It's really starting to look very spring-like around here. Before I go on with today's topic, which will be ancestors and the afterlife from my point of view, I have a couple of announcements. My wife Oni is now on Pagan Space. You can look her up there. Oni is spelled O-N-I. And she'd love it if you'd go over there and be her friend, check out her profile, say hello. There's nothing really new in the show. We're still at MySpace and Facebook and Proud Pagan Podcasters, Podcast Pickle, Podcast Alley, iTunes. There is one problem at iTunes. I've noticed that I'm not searchable on iTunes. If you put the show's title in the search box, it will bring you to my page, but if you search the word pagan or look in the religion and spirituality categories where I'm supposed to be listed, I'm not. I've sent an email to iTunes to try and get this sorted out, but I'm not really sure what's going on there. Another announcement that I would like to make is I'm going to be doing a ghost show sometime this spring, April, possibly in May. But let's assume it's going to be April, and the reason I'm telling you to assume it will be sooner, this will be a special edition. It will be a longer show, or possibly broken down into a two-parter. And if you folks are willing, what I would like for you to do, email me your ghost stories. I mean, true stories, things that actually happened to you, not your fiction. And I don't have any problem with fiction. I'm just trying to do a reality-based ghost show. Send me an email, or if you're one of the computer literate listeners that I have, you can send me an MP3 file and I will drop it right into the show. Now, if you are going to send an MP3, make it 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, no longer. There's not going to be enough room in the show if I have each person sending it a very long file. Now, I'm not promising that I will technically know how to drop your MP3 in. Currently, I don't. However, Oni is very technically literate, and I believe she'll be able to work out any issues that we have by the time that show comes up. But start sending those emails or MP3s immediately after this show. I'll put them in a file. I'll hold on to them until that ghost show rolls around sometime in April, possibly as late as May. Now, ghosts are something Oni and I have a great deal of experience in. We do what people refer to as ghost hunting, although I certainly don't think of it as hunting. I'm not trying to prove their existence scientifically. I am not trying to write a book or become famous. Sometimes ghosts are simply people trapped in this reality who want to get out, and we try to help them get out. That is the biggest issue. Occasionally we've helped people who are having haunting problems or poltergeist problems, and we try to sort those issues out as well. Sometimes people's lives can be turned upside down by a haunting that they don't want and don't understand. We think of ourselves more as paranormal problem solvers, not ghost hunters. But we happen to have a lot of experience in this. And a friend of mine, Hippie Mom, if you remember, was saying this is the kind of thing that everybody loves to talk about, and that it would probably be a very successful episode. And I agree. So we're going to pull out all the stops on this and add to the time, maybe do an hour show, maybe get a guest or two to come in and talk with us. I think it's going to be a good time. That's why I'm telling you now, because I need some time to prepare for an undertaking as large as this one. Anything other than me sitting in front of a microphone is an undertaking, because I don't really know what I'm doing, so I need time to prepare. One other thing I would like to mention, and this refers primarily to my American listeners. There was a lot of economic news this week, really in the past 2 weeks. And I'm a high news consumer. I listen to NPR and MSNBC and a number of news outlets every day. I'm sort of a news junkie. I like news of the world. I like political news. I'm politically active. But even I'm becoming overwhelmed by the numbers being thrown around and the economic woes that we're going through. And this program is going to be $500 billion and this a trillion, and who knows what's going to happen. I just wanted to make a point that is something other faiths do that I don't know if pagans have taken into their hearts as a matter of community or not. If you know someone who is struggling, or you are someone who is struggling, you've lost a job, or whatever your complications might be, I really hope your friends and family, particularly your faith family, your pagan friends, would be reaching out to you, or you as the person in a better position would be reaching out to someone who isn't. I hear people talk about community all the time. It is a constant conversation in paganism. But its expression in the real world is often quite lacking. We seem to think of community as an intellectual idea. And I'm saying, in difficult times as we are now, intellectual ideas are fine and dandy, but they don't feed anyone, they don't clothe anyone, and they don't shelter anyone. So if you're in a position to do something for someone else and you know someone who is struggling, please try to do something. Even emotional support, if it is all you can render, is valuable. Okay, enough said about that. I don't want to be a downer about our larger economic woes. Well, on to our topic then, which is ancestors and my conception of the afterlife. Before we go into what I believe now, I wanted to give you a little bit of background information on the Hindu and Buddhist concept of the soul and reincarnation and that sort of thing, and you'll see why in a minute. Now, I'm not a religious scholar, by the way. I took these definitions from a basic world religions website that I didn't write the address down for, and I don't know why. Anyway, the Hindu concept. Each person has many bodies that come in many forms. You can go to a place called heaven or hell. Those are not their words. But it would be a temporary visit either way. All souls come from the One, or the Source, and after karma plays itself out many times throughout many different lives, you return to that Source, that prime mover, so to speak, that people are learning about limitation and playing out the karma that they sow for themselves. In Buddhism, it's fairly similar, but the soul, that idea of a soul that lives on, is replaced with the concept of individual character. Your character lives on, and it goes through what they call the Eightfold Path in Buddhism. What I was taught when I became a pagan is essentially the Hindu concept but in a biological ladder structure that a soul separates from the one, from the prime mover, you know, the Godhead. It takes on the smallest form possible, which would be debatable. Is that an amoeba? Is that a ant? What have you. And it moves its way up in a linear fashion from less complex organism to more complex organism. And some people believe that you eventually will fill the form of the gods, that your soul will move through human and spirit being and angelic type force until eventually you incarnate, so to speak, in one of the positions of the gods. You become Odin someday. I never believed that, but I met a lot of pagans who did, particularly when I first came into the craft. I actually met a couple some years ago who followed what they called elemental shamanism, and they worshipped the elemental rulers because they had believed in this form of reincarnation, that you could reincarnate into the gods themselves at some point. So that meant the gods were not above you as a human being, but because you could not incarnate into the elemental rulers were in fact the supreme beings in this reality. They were very nice people, but I didn't understand their theology at all. But then again, I never agreed with the idea that you could incarnate into the position of the gods. To me, the gods are the gods. They have always been, and they will always be. It is not a mask that is held for a revolving group of souls. But I have met people who do believe that. Now, the reason I told you about the Hindu and Buddhist concepts of reincarnation is because they might sound familiar to you, and there's a reason for that. Gerald Gardner spent many years as a civil servant in India and learned quite a bit about their religious views and cultural ways. He used that Hindu concept of reincarnation as the basis for the Wiccan concept of reincarnation. There was no similar concept, archaeologically speaking, in European culture. This is something that was just grafted over by Gardner, and that's why I wanted you to have some sense of what that Hindu concept is, because it's where the quote Wiccan concept of reincarnation comes from. My view of the afterlife is highly influenced by West African culture, much more so than by European culture. Now, there's a couple of reasons for this. First of all, the Celts, and for the most part, the early Germans, and even the Norse, if they were not preliterate, in the case of the Celts, they were preliterate. In the case of the Norse, they were literate, but what they left as a record for their understanding of the afterlife is not very clear. People in Asatru will tell you that the idea of Valhalla and hell is the obvious and clear, archaeologically correct answer. It is not the only answer. Prior to the Christianization of the Norse myths, and particularly in the earlier German times, there was no Valhalla. There was a land of the dead that it really wasn't good or bad. It was just the place that you went and had interactions with other people that you had known. We know much more about Celtic and early German belief in afterlife based on how the dead were prepared and that items were left in the graves. But what they thought would happen to you afterwards is definitely not clear. I was looking it up the other day because my recollection was the same, that we don't have specific information prior to the Christian era what these folks actually thought. And I do a lot of reading about customs and religions from around the world, and I came across the impetus, the original culture behind what people call voodoo, what in Africa is known as voodoo, and there's a number of other names, but it's the beliefs of a group of people called the Fon, F-O-N, and another tribe of people called the Yoruba from what is present-day Nigeria, I started reading about their concept of the soul and of the afterlife and where, if reincarnation fits, it fits in. Their concept struck me as resonating and as true. Now, I did not take it lock, stock, and barrel. I had some beliefs of my own based on the survival of a soul from my own experiences, from having dealt with ancestors and ghosts and spirits prior to coming across this. But here's how it breaks down in essence. You are born into a life with certain possibilities and certain limitations built in. But that is not fatalistic. You will not have a certain set of things that must happen to you and a certain set of things that are out of the question. These are simply issues of character, issues of limitation, issues of circumstance that begin your life. Once you are in your life, free will is in play. Free will is active. So you live out your life and eventually you die. I believe there is a soul, and it separates from the body, and in general, that soul goes to an afterlife. However, what that afterlife looks like and who you will find there seems to have something to do with how you thought it would look. As far as I can tell, everyone who's died is in the same quote-unquote place, but they're sections of that place. Some might call it levels, some might call it regions, however you want to view it. You will encounter some people you knew in life, some family, some friends, but not every person you have ever met or ever cared about will necessarily be, quote-unquote, where you are. And there is a life that goes on there. I don't know that you get a job or you drive a car or you buy a house or something, but you exist. You live, there is passage of time or what passes for time. Things happen, there is change, there is growth, there is evolution. You can see the living if you choose to. You can look in on your family or friends or whomever you want to. You can affect their lives in a both negative or positive way. You can skew odds in their favor. You can skew odds out of their favor. You have a life of your own in that next stage, but it does not make you divorced from this life if you don't want to be, the people who are still here, I mean. To me, the definition of ancestor, beyond the dictionary one, which simply means someone from your bloodline who came before you, spiritually, an ancestor is someone who has died and gone into the afterlife and is still residing there. Someone who gets stuck here, to me, by definition, is a ghost. They are not an ancestor. They have not passed on to that next state of being. They are in an in-between place. I believe very much in ancestor reverence, and I believe that the people who follow faith, similar to my own, are my ancestors as much as the people who are of my bloodline. I don't see things in a clan or tribal way based on blood. I see things in a clan or tribal way based on similarity in a larger scope. If you're an Iron Age German or some Bronze Age Celt, we have very little in common in the way we live our lives, but in my belief, our spiritualities have a lot to do with each other. That makes you my ancestor. If you are of my bloodline, for a great deal of history, you would have been a Christian, and the way you live your life is nothing similar to the way I live mine, yet we are related. We are of the same line. So I think of ancestor as a much, much bigger word than the standard bloodline explanation. Actually, I go to the cemetery quite regularly, usually about once a month. I feel very comfortable there, and I like interacting with the energies that you find there. When I go to a cemetery, I usually go to the oldest part, if I haven't been to that cemetery before. And I will walk around for a while until I feel drawn to a particular tombstone. I'm not always drawn, but usually I am. And I will sit and speak to that person, and usually I will just say out loud, I'll read the name off the stone, and I'll say, hello, I'm greeting you, and I'm wondering what your life was like, and what is it like where you are? How are you enjoying this after space? Have you reincarnated? This may sound very unusual if you don't have an active belief in an ancestor realm, but to me, these people are just as real as I am, but real in a different way, real in a different form. And it is distinctly possible that they might be hearing me, that they might see this and like being remembered, or take some interest in my life. And since I believe ancestors can be your ally, I see no harm in recruiting as many allies as possible. On to the issue of reincarnation. I do believe in reincarnation. I don't think it's a given. I don't think everyone reincarnates or everyone does it a prescribed number of times. I don't know if people reincarnate as animals. I've thought about that a lot. And I am not clear, based on my human understanding, if an animal's quote-unquote soul is the same essence as is mine. There's clearly chi, or life force, in an animal, and you can see when the animal is dead, same as when a human is dead, that chi has departed. Is that the same thing as a soul? Because I see chi in a tree as well, but yet I don't recognize anything that I understand as a focused soul within that tree. So I'm agnostic on the idea whether you incarnate as animals or not, or incarnate solely as humans. I don't really think it matters either way, because I don't know anyone that remembers being a dog or an ant. If you are having lessons and experiences by being those animals, apparently it is not necessary to remember that you were the animal to have gained the knowledge from it. So why bother talking about it? I personally remember experiences that I think were past lives. I am also willing to accept that it is some form of psychological fantasy that my subconscious creates to teach me a lesson about some activity or behavior by inventing a character, some character I think I was in another life. It doesn't make any difference to me, because those characters or other lives, remembered incarnations, have taught me things. Whether they are real in an external way or real only in an internal way seems irrelevant to me. What do you think about reincarnation? What were you taught about it, and did you believe those things on faith, or did you have recollections of recovered lives for yourself, or do you believe the whole thing is kind of silly? I'd be interested to know. There's a wider variety of opinion on this subject, I think, than most pagans would think. So back to the idea of ancestors and the afterlife for just a moment. I have dinner, by which I mean I eat food and set out a plate with a little bit of everything that I'm eating for my ancestors on a regular basis. It used to be something I did very often, several times a week. Now it's something we do maybe once a month. But I talk to them as if they're at the table. I have some favorite ancestors, relatives of whom I have pictures. We keep them on our ancestor altar. Usually there is a glass of water set there on the altar for them. Whether or not they're, quote, eating this or drinking this, my belief is that my attention to them in a physical way, by putting out food and drink and sweets or perfume or what have you, attracts their attention. It lets them know I am remembering them and thinking about them in the same way that talking to them out loud does. I'm a big believer in that, by the way, when talking to spirits and gods and ancestors. I do it out loud. I believe the word and the breath, so to speak, was creation. There is a concept in Norse theology that says essentially the same thing. It was Christianized, no doubt, but the point is there. If you look at many religious traditions, breath, the act of moving air, is a sacred thing. Speaking is a sacred thing, and I carry that into my spiritual life as well. I also believe that if an ancestor goes into the next world, someone who was an alcoholic, or a terrible criminal, or just mean, that person can continue to grow and evolve in the next life in the same way that they had the opportunity to do that in this life. And I know certain members of my family who were not good people, from my definition of good, and I've prayed for their evolution on the other side. I have set out an extra candle for them in particular. I don't invite them into my home. I don't welcome them into my life because they're bad people, as I understand it. But I give prayers for their evolution. I ask and give offerings that they might grow and that they might change. Actually, Oni has gotten on me more than once about my having poor relations with some of my extended family. And I say, well, you know, they'll die soon and we'll work it out in the next life. You know, I can light a candle for them and maybe they'll have a wider point of view when they're down there and we can talk. And she says, you're too comfortable with this idea of working things out later. It's true. I happen to think that being dead widens one's perspective. From everything I have heard in talking to ancestors, it does. Things that seemed so important when you were alive don't seem as important. It seems easier to get over those conflicts, those silly things that keep people apart. Not that I'm recommending this for you, okay? This is part of my procrastinating nature. If you can avoid a terribly traumatic family squabble until somebody is dead and smooth it over, I might go for that, but I'm not recommending it. It's certainly not a proactive and healthy way to go about doing things. But the long and the short of it is this. My ancestors are part of my daily life. They are never gone from me. They are never forgotten. It is a saying in West Africa that an honorable person knows the names of 7 generations of their fathers and mothers. That is a way of showing that you care about your family line, about your history, about where you come from. I don't know 7 generations. My family never talks. My mother's parents hated my father. They're not with us anymore, and my father's parents are gone as well. But the 2 sides of the family never communicated. I don't know who my great-grandparents were on my mother's side. I'm trying to do the genealogical work to discover who these folks were, but nobody got along, so I have no family stories. I have very little in the way of family history. I had to find my mother's parents' birth dates by doing an online search. My father had no idea, and my mother has been dead for quite a long time, so there's no one who has this information. It seems strange in a way that I come from a family that don't like each other so much, but I'm so ancestor aware. But it is my belief. I really believe that in the afterlife, you are still living, quote unquote, in a different way. There is still evolution, there is still change, there is still happiness and sadness. All my interactions with my ancestors confirm that this is true, or at least true in part. And I don't think you need to be famous or special to be remembered after you're dead. The fact is, everyone has struggles. Everyone had triumphs, as small as they might be. Everyone gains, or you would hope, everyone gains a little bit of wisdom and a little bit of knowledge over the course of a lifetime, particularly a long lifetime. I'm open to those human stories. I look at a gravestone and I think, what was your life like? How did you live? What were your passions when alive? What were your faults and failures? The human story, to me, is the most interesting thing possible. Maybe that's why I'm as attracted to ancestors and graveyards as I am. It is a giant park full of potential human stories. I don't know, but the West African view that you live, that you die, and that you live on in another place, and that you can have interactions with the living, you can support them, you could hold them back if you wanted to, that we, the living, can help sustain those in the next life, we can help them evolve, we can lift them up in prayer, that they are a regular part of our life. That is my view of an afterlife. And for the most part, all of the particulars, all of the specifics, are question marks that I don't particularly feel I need to know the answer to. That we survive, that we might reincarnate, is enough for me, for now. It's enough to say I have peace about the concept of this life ending. And let me reiterate this idea, because whenever I talk about ancestor reverence or ancestor worship, invariably there'll be one person in the crowd or one person that I'm speaking with that will, you know, their jaw will get very tight and they'll clench their teeth, and it turns out they have a terribly abusive alcoholic father or some other horrible relative that made their lives terrible. I'm not telling you to honor that person or to revere that person, and certainly not to invite that person into your life or your home. I am saying people of good character, people who were honorable as best you know. Those are the people you revere. Those are the people that you have honor for. And if you want to pray for evolution for that horrible person, maybe as an act of forgiveness, maybe as an act of simply getting over what terrible damage they've done to you, of putting it behind you, you can, but you don't have to. I am never suggesting that you take some horrible trauma and play it over and over again by honoring someone who's hurt you. I would never do that, and I don't believe in that. But there are many more people who were kind to you or helpful to you in some way, or whom you simply never knew because they died 7 generations ago, and they in fact may have a story to tell, some piece of wisdom or knowledge that you can get or acquire in some fashion. That is what I'm saying. That is what I mean by ancestor reverence or ancestor worship. And the idea for me is relationship. Not that I owe my ancestors a tremendous debt of gratitude beyond the fact that without them I would not exist. If there were not a bloodline, I could not be born. But that I want to know them, and I want them to know me, and I am not a slave to them, and they are not at my beck and call, but that we are friends in a way, in a strange sort of way. There is a give and take between us, and that is what I believe, and that is what I have been doing for about 10 years. My ideas on the afterlife and reincarnation went through a radical change about 9 years ago to the current view that I hold now. But this has been the most satisfied, the happiest I have been in this aspect of life, in this understanding. I have always been intrigued by the mysteries of life and death. My primary god is Odin. Although Odin has many facets, it is god of magic and god of death in which he appears to me most often. That and the wild storms, woad, the fury aspect. I don't know Odin, the courtly guy who hangs around being kingly. I've heard of him, but I don't interact with that Odin. I interact with a wild, force of nature, uncontrollable Odin. That is magic and death and storms and things that are just as important as puppies and babies and flowers. They're just not the kind of things that I get from him. They're not the kind of things that are in his nature, the nature that I see. But long before I knew who Odin was, or ever spoke to him, I never went past a graveyard without thinking I'd like to go in there, even though at night it would scare me. I never thought that death was an unattractive thing, or a door that I didn't desperately want to know what was on the other side. I have always felt life and death are equally important, although we live in a society that says death is disgusting and scary and horrible, so I don't talk about it much. At least I didn't until I became a pagan and saw that one could have a more balanced view. Well, I'm not really sure what else to say about that. I think I'm going to start waxing a little off topic, so I'll end that part of the show for today. Before I go, there's one other thing I wanted to ask. I am going to do an About Me show. My story, how I got into paganism, what it is in essence that I believe, etc., etc. But I haven't figured out how to tell my story. So I'm wondering, you the listener, are there specific questions or parts of my life or issues that you would like to know? If you have any questions, please email me at paganspiritualitytoday@comcast, comcast.net. Let me know what you think should be included in an About Me or My Pagan Story show. Perhaps if I can't ever get it together and work it out in one show, little bits and pieces will just keep coming out as I do episodes, but I thought it would be nice to have a more structured and focused This Is My Story type of show. So that's it for today. I want to thank everybody for listening. The numbers at my host, Podbean, are going crazy. I can't believe how many of you are tuning in. I want you to know I am so grateful for all of you who listen and tell your friends. If you think the show should be heard by more folks, maybe you want to drop me a review at iTunes. I have two very nice reviews right now, but some people tend to listen to shows that have more reviews, or positive reviews, than shows that don't. Other than that, I just am tickled that you folks are tuning in and you're listening. So, until next time, take care, folks.